In this episode, we discuss single white female for tweens, The Roommate. And remember to stop by www.flophousepodcast.com for information about our live Flophouse event. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
I'm Elliot Kalin.
We're all back again.
Hey guys, I don't mean to interrupt you, Dan, but
okay, sure.
I have.
I mean, you did
derailed instantly
right off the bat.
The penny was on the track, apparently. Under the train when it started.
Mm-hmm. Wait, are we talking about a fucking penny and a dinosaur again?
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Okay.
There.
Anyway, I just want to share something with you guys, mm-hmm. and you know our listeners at home or in their car going to their boring day jobs.
They're listening to this on Satellite XM.
Yeah, they're going on their daily commute to
podcast
their
pals,
their grind,
podcasts.
their boring jobs.
Wow.
I just got a new job, guys.
Okay.
Oh wow.
Just wanted to be everybody. Everybody already seemed excited about their jobs. I just got a job at The Daily Show.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
does
great.
Does not seem right.
That's that great, seems... Stuart.
No, yeah, I did.
What are you going to be doing there?
I am an animal wrangler.
We needed one. We've needed one for a long time. A lot of dogs.
It was mainly
correct.
Scorpions.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, yeah, they all kinds of animal wrangling. Bathing.
Bathing scorpions.
Yeah.
With like using a toothbrush on their shells?
Yeah, of course. And a little bit of sanitizer fluid.
I have not been paying attention for the past week or so, but that doesn't seem correct.
I believe him.
It's a variety show. You've probably seen it before. It's The Daily Show.
A lot
it's
of
a music or variety show.
A lot of scorpion acts.
It's on Hulu, I think.
Yes, that's one.
Are you sure you're not just taking care of our in-house band, The Scorpions?
I do that too, but that's...
Because they
I'm not being paid for that.
Oh, okay.
I just do that because I am a Scorpions mega fan.
Mega fan. You can name more than one of their songs.
Mm-hmm.
Such as?
Rock You Like a Hurricane.
No, that's
yes,
the
that's
one.
One. Okay, and another one.
And Dust in the Wind.
I don't think that's a Scorpion song.
Yeah, it's when they called themselves Kansas.
Is Winds of Change? Is that
Winds of Chains?
Winds of Chains. That must be the most dangerous storm in the world.
The Wind of Change. The Winds of Change.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think they have three songs. Rock Me Like a Hurricane, Scorpions, the song, and Scorpions 2, the other song.
Okay.
The Scorpions, the song goes, Scorpions, we're the Scorpions, Scorpions. Just like that over and over again.
Okay. I mean, we have a little more time.
We've got a lot. We have nothing but time on this podcast.
So,
there's nothing scheduled.
So I just want to bring that up, mainly to get
congratulations.
The congratulations. Yep,
congratulations.
To thanks, Elliot.
Sure. There is no one else. You have taken the thunder. Other announcement would seem pitiful.
Tune into The Daily Show. You'll see if you see any animals. That's
Stuart
mine.
Will be off.
Probably wrangle
you'll see
them.
Probably Stuart's hand reaching in from out of the corner, holding a peanut butter sandwich up to a member of the band, The Scorpions.
Yeah, you'll
get them to keep playing.
If there's a scar on my hand, it's probably the scar I got playing flag football.
with scorpions.
Their flags are very tiny on their little carapaces.
Yeah. It's hard to pull them off without getting stung.
I like to call it a carapace.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
I mean, it's the same thing, but it just sounds cooler.
I mean...
Like a Gartham's carapace
in
Dark Crystal.
There's not a single word cooler than exoskeleton.
All right, hold on. Let's take a break for this siren outside. Just all imagine where it could be going.
It's just more New York realism.
Yeah. It would seem...
Wait, siren.
Okay. It's probably...
And
silence.
And
okay.
We're good. Keep going.
It would seem churlish of me to make an announcement at this point, but...
Why don't we just get right to the meat of the flop?
Well,
the roommate.
It seems that...
Starring Minka...
I mean,
and
Elliot.
Meat and Beister.
Elliot has deliberately one-upped me on several occasions.
Cam Gajangit. Yes.
Gigantic?
I don't know if I would say I one-upped you. You would be like, oh, like I went camping and it was fun. And I'd be like, I was at the Emmys and I won one. Or you'd be like, oh, you know, I met this guy. You know, you hadn't heard of him, but I've been a fan of his music. And I'd be like, well, I fist bumped the president.
Sure. Well, some would argue that's the definition of one-upping.
I don't think so. It's more like 100-upping.
I mean, I feel like...
Like 100 better than you.
Stewart has thrown down a
I think
of
Elliot's
gauntlet.
Joke was funnier than yours, too. I don't mean to throw... I don't mean
Thank
to,
you, sir.
You know, that's kind of...
Well, he's been a writer for The Daily Show for quite some time.
Who?
The Daily Show.
No, who's like, been a writer for The Daily
like
Show?
He said who, and you said The Daily Show, which is not a person.
Elliot's been a writer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For The Daily Show for quite some time, so he's good at making
Wait,
jokes.
We work on the same show?
Yeah. You didn't realize that?
No,
guys,
I didn't.
I interviewed you for the job.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Why do you wear a mustache?
That's what they asked me to do that so
okay,
I can
Okay, and
be...
a hat. More on hats later. Damn.
And there will be more on hats later.
No, I just wanted I just want to let you know that I
Hey, Stuart, did you get a haircut? Okay. You're looking really good.
Nope, I just did. I just put some water in it when I went to the bathroom.
Tip
Here's
to
the
pros.
Stuart sets up a bit.
Pro tip.
Stuart really enjoys setting up a bit and then preventing the bit from paying off.
Yes, what is the payoff, Dan? Make your announcement.
The payoff is that I got hired as a writer for that particular television program.
And what show is that?
That's The Daily Show.
Yay!
Mazel tov. Today you are a professional comedy writer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, technically the Tuesday after Memorial Day.
It took a while, but I finally stopped making a liar of the New York Times, which listed me as a comedy writer in my wedding announcement.
And what year was that?
That was quite some time ago. Mm-hmm. We've been married for about 6 years, I think. So.
About six
about,
years. That's
so
probably
really
what
know.
His wife
right,
says.
I can't remember. Hold on.
Well,
you don't remember the year you were married. I
well,
remember
I
what year
with,
I was married.
I came up
2010.
With
2010.
You know what? I came
last year.
With
I remember
mnemonic
that.
To remember what year it was, and I've forgotten what that mnemonic device was.
Well, one, it's pronounced mnemonic.
Okay.
No, you can say mnemonic. That sounds funnier.
Okay.
You shouldn't correct him when he says it wrong.
I'm sorry, yeah.
What were we talking about?
The Roommates.
Okay.
The movie we watched. You got a job as a writer at The Daily Show.
Okay.
I'm very excited.
And you had a scary roommate.
Yes.
You won't have a scary roommate. I know who your roommate's going to be.
Oh, that's good.
It's Minka Kelly. Meister.
Minka Kelly or Cam Gajangit.
No, I don't want to linger on this either, but let's
keep moving.
I just think it's clear that being on
So you're trying
the
to
one-up
the fact that I got a job as an animal wrangler.
No, I'm just saying that clearly being on the Flophouse is a fast track to being employed at The Daily Show.
Well, at this point,
yeah, that's what I thought.
Fully 66.666% repeating of the Flophouse is a writer for The Daily Show.
Yeah,
very exciting. You'll have to change your bio on the website.
Oh God.
Yeah, that's a real
so
pain.
Many things to do. So many things to
change,
do before Tuesday.
You have to change your occupation on Facebook from Hateful Drone to Comedy Writer.
You know, I told my friends though. I said to them, I was like
a television writer.
I told them, don't worry. I'll complain just as much as before. You'll just be less sympathetic about it.
Oh, yes. That's it. I've learned that.
So guys,
that's all for Jobcast.
If listeners, if the listeners out
the
there,
job house.
If you've grown to love the hateful, sad Dan McCoy, don't worry. He's not going anywhere.
Oh, if anything, he will only become more alienated from his own work.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. It's a great place.
Anyway, that's
but
not what this
Dan has deep-seated
podcast
neuroses.
Is about. This podcast is about The Roommate. Starring
The Roommate?
Starring
Minka Kelly.
Kink Melly.
And Leighton Meester.
And Cam Gajandit.
Hey
Nobody
guys.
In this movie has a...
And Famke Janssen.
It's the most reasonable name in this movie is Billy Zane. Which sounds like Billy Insane. Or Billy Zany.
Yeah, what's this? This movie's about two ladies that look like each other.
They look kind of...
Hey guys, what's up with
what's
up with parents naming their kids silly names nowadays?
Like,
know what I mean?
Well, I mean, all of the people in this movie are in their late 20s, so it's not really nowadays.
You're like trying to get me to steal your catchphrase, your famous catchphrase. Is this a bit?
Yeah, no, I know.
His famous catchphrase. It's not even the most famous of his 3 or 4 dozen catchphrases.
Well, his most famous catchphrase is just a noise.
What would that noise be?
I will not do it on command.
Yeah, we have to wait till the house cat wanders into the room.
Yep. It's like urinating in public. You have to kind of focus and just be quiet and maybe it'll happen.
Okay. Well, we watched The Roommate with Minka Kelly and Leighton Meester and Cam Gajandit and Billy Zane.
And Ali Michalka.
Let's just point out that Billy Zane is a reoccurring Flophouse favorite.
Yep, yes. And
we need a sound effect for that.
And just a favorite in my...
I like that.
It's pretty good, yeah.
It's just a favorite in my life.
Like a foghorn?
It's sure. A Billy Zane horn.
Yeah. It's in honor of his work in Dead Calm.
And Titanic.
Yep. Yeah. It's for when the shrimp boats are coming in and on a foggy night, and yep. They need to know where the Billy Zane's at.
So they don't get raped, yeah.
There's a giant glowing Billy Zane out on the point.
Hey, dude, Kelly Brook liked it.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Do you think that's because he kind of looks like a giant penis?
I mean, maybe
that,
like...
that suggests something in a woman's mind?
I'd like to see the penises you're looking at.
Well, they all have stubble.
That's interesting.
And
okay.
Weird toothy
they
faces.
They all smash evil.
Sure.
Slam evil, Dan.
Oh, sorry.
He slammed evil as the Phantom.
Who smashes evil? I guess the Hulk would smash evil.
Hulk or just smashes things. Stuff. He literally Hulk smash. He just smashes.
Yeah. Yeah, no
one smashes
in
evil.
That
he's leaving it open-ended.
Yeah.
No one smashes evil.
So we would explain what this movie is, except for it's exactly Single White Female.
It is the movie Single White Female, but set at a college dorm, and all the college students are obviously in their late 20s.
We didn't get any
what's,
closure.
Who's the Steven Weber character then?
I guess he's the old...
The ex-boyfriend? Well, that's the thing. In Single White Female, correct me if I'm wrong, she has a boyfriend and...
They broke up, but then they got back together.
And then the roommate steals the boyfriend, wants to steal the boyfriend away, or tries to seduce
well,
him.
Well, I mean, she seduces him and then kills him by slamming the heel of a spiked...
A stiletto pump.
So, because in this one, there's an old boyfriend that the heroine doesn't like anymore, and there's a new boyfriend.
The heroine?
Yeah, the hero who's a girl. Heroette, okay. Sorry. The heroette. Heroix.
The heroine.
Okay.
We call it.
Well, that's a drug.
It's also the way it's pronounced.
A very dangerous one.
But.
I don't think so. The heroine has a new boyfriend, Squinty McCamjagandit, sure. Who is always squinting and making his eyebrows go crazy and is kind of gay.
But he's a drummer.
But he's a drummer for a band called The Walthers.
So he's going to get
named
laid,
after
probably.
James Bond's gun.
Sure.
But there's also an ex-boyfriend, Jason, who keeps calling the heroine and... The crazy roommate pretends to be her, and they have sex, and then she kills him with a box cutter.
Mm-hmm.
She stabs him twice, and he immediately expires.
So basically, for those of you who haven't seen SWF, or Single White Female,
sure,
not to be confused with SFW, the movie.
Right. I'm just trying to remember what that stands for.
Single Female White.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah, okay.
So Minka Kelly is a college student at the University of Los Angeles.
Sure. It's a university for older students, I would imagine.
Yes, because they're all not – it's the only college I've seen where everyone has crow's feet
mm-hmm.
and smile lines.
Yeah. So but, Minka Kelly, let's Minka call Kelly? Her Lila Garrity just to make it easier.
Lila Garrity from
that's
FNL.
Her character on Friday, Sunday
on
night.
On the Friday Night Lights.
Friday night. What night is that on?
Friday.
And what's the light situation like? Do they have them?
Yeah. Presumably.
So it's during the day?
It's in the title.
Well, there's lights on the show, and then there's lights in the tubes of your television set.
No, that's not how televisions work.
So okay. I'm assuming that her character left
the
show to go...
Tubes in your television set. All right, Grandpa. Why don't I use the clicker? Oh, they aren't invented yet. I guess I'll get up and turn the dial to the UHF station. Tubes in your televisions. Oh, hold on. I got to walk across the room to use the telephone. And it uses a rotary dial.
I didn't want to do this, but I have to take my mask off, and it's me, Philo P. Farnsworth.
Oh no!
Hey guys, what's up?
Your voice didn't change at all.
No, not a very good disguise.
Sure.
So students...
Lila Garrity left Friday Night Lights mm-hmm. to go to college.
So go to college.
And I'm presuming that she this
and
is
she
the college
moves in
too.
With Blair Waldorf from Gossip Girl.
Okay.
Who is Leighton Meester?
Mm-hmm.
Leighton Meester?
I think it's Leighton Meester, but I have no idea.
They all have crazy names.
Yeah.
Anyway, she moves in with Leighton, and it turns out Leighton Meester is the artsy smart girl who is also crazy, of course. Wants to be her roommate. Is threatening anyone she sees as an obstacle in
she
her
wants
way.
To be inside her.
I mean, inside her skin as her.
Climb inside her.
No.
And be her.
It's really creepy.
Like a tauntaun?
Yeah.
Yeah, to keep warm on the steps of Hoth after shooting a probe droid.
Okay. Anyway. I'm actually more excited than I was.
Minka Kelly does smell bad on the outside.
The characters spend a lot of time. The characters spend a lot of time just kind of wandering around and not doing very much.
And there's not a lot of other students.
It's like Saved by the Bell, the college years, in that there's no one at the college except the main characters. And like a few extras, and it gets to the point where by the last third of the movie, anytime you see an extra walk by, you're like, where are they going? Mm-hmm. What's their story about?
Yeah.
It creates a real believable world, is what I'm saying.
And it
claustrophobic.
And
on some level, it makes the threat seem more genuine because this crazy girl, like, there's no, she hasn't, the non crazy girl has no one to turn
to
there's only like two other people.
Yeah, and the non crazy girl gets a boyfriend who meets her by literally bumping into her and spilling beer all over her
on purpose.
On purpose, he's the drummer in a band. They, of course, hit it off because he's a jerk. Mm-hmm.
Well, their relationship was initially based on her drinking punch that was spiked.
Without her realizing it.
Mm-hmm. Which she was surprised about. She was at a college party and surprised that the punch was loaded with alcohol.
Well, here's the thing. What's you pointed out pretty early on, Stuart. What is the defining characteristic of the main character?
Hat wearing, right?
No, that's the other one. But the other one's two. Just two.
Repeatedly through this movie, the character puts things in her mouth that other people hands her without questioning it, whether it's spiked punch,
pills
given to her by a crazy person, coffee, booze, people buy her booze. Like, it seems like they make a point of showing other people giving her things.
At one point, she puts a drink down at a bar, walks away, comes back, and just picks up a drink and drinks it, and you don't even know for sure that it's her drink.
Yeah.
Could she just be drinking anything?
This is almost porn for potential date rapists. Like, the idea of, like, this is the perfect candidate for them to go after.
And what was her other characteristic?
Hats and scarves.
Yeah, she wears a lot of hats and scarves, which is contagious. Billy Zane is wearing hats and scarves.
Well, they're both in the style industry. What you have to understand is that hats and scarves means style.
That's right. We didn't mention that Billy Zane teaches her fashion design class.
He's the Tim Gunn of this universe.
Except he's super straight and hits on his students.
And he wears, like, Paul Prudhomme hats.
Yeah, they look kind of like newsboy caps. He should be fighting Hearst's monopoly over the pape industry. But anyway, she has this new roommate. The roommate intimidates people. This other girl who she's friends with, the roommate tracks her down in the showers and beats her up and then pulls her belly button ring out. And
not as hot as it sounds, by the way.
No, it's not very good. And
but if you ever wanted to see Ally Michkala of television's Hellcats.
Michalka.
And what was that? Oh, she was also the friend in Easy A.
Yeah, you recommended that.
She was in Phil of the Future.
She's friends with Easy E.
If you wanted to see her belly button ring get pulled out, this is your chance.
What is Phil of the Future?
It was a Disney children's tween.
I don't like that you know
sitcom.
That.
I'm uncomfortable right now.
Yeah. Anyway. Things escalate, or rather they don't. They just kind of keep plodding along until finally...
They sexcalate.
I wish they sexcalate.
If they sexcalated, there would be a reason for this movie to exist.
There's very little, like, thrills or anything.
They did manage to sneak in the crazy roommate masturbation sequence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Albeit slightly different than...
The crazy roommate accepts a call on her roommate's phone from the ex-boyfriend Jason, and they masturbate with each other over the phone while... In another location, Minka is having sex with her new boyfriend, the drummer, and there's a lot of close-ups of teeth.
I love the – and
because the Danish director, Christian E. Christensen, apparently thinks that teeth are very sexy.
That means son of Christian, son of Christian, right?
Something like that, yeah.
And
they've been Christian for at least two generations.
And the crazy girl, while masturbating, is also staring at a childhood picture of her roommate, Minka Kelly, and her dead
– And her dead sister.
Yeah.
Things get the final straw that breaks.
I mean, she's not dead in the picture. That'd be really weird.
The final straw that breaks Minka Kelly's back, metaphorically, is that she has a tattoo of her sister's name, Emily, on her boob.
The classiest place to get a tattoo.
And,
of a dead sister.
In memoriam.
And her crazy roommate goes to get a tattoo, and she gets the same tattoo and starts saying, "You can consider me your sister. Pretend I'm your sister." That is too much for Minka Kelly. And things escalate to the point where they have a knockdown, drag-out fight that involves people getting things smashed over their heads and punched and, like, pointing guns at each other and getting knocked out of windows.
Minka Kelly's lesbian best friend who has been tied to the bed for apparently
three days.
Not as hot as it sounds.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that in description sound very, like, titillating or sleazy, but come off as
like
boring.
Putting a kitten in a dryer.
That's right. They pick up a stray kitten named Cuddles, or they name it Cuddles.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't tell them its name is Cuddles or anything.
It hands them a business card.
Cuddles, take care of it.
A business card that says Cuddles kitten.
Where do that kid get business cards?
You just get them for free.
Staples.
Oh, okay.
On the other side of the business card, there's an ad for the business card company.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see that now. A movie where an animal marketing. Hands a business card to somebody.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, most likely it'd be like a cartoon, and it would be an animal detective or something.
Now, that's an animal who solves crimes, not a detective who looks. Because there is a pet detective movie already.
Uh huh.
In fact, three of them.
Oh, really? What's the deal there? Is it a comedy, a thriller?
It's a Holocaust drama.
Okay.
Ace Ventura, pet detective.
I'm surprised you don't remember it. It was a Best Picture winner.
I usually don't see those movies. The nudity just makes me sad often.
Wow.
I mean, when there's nudity, it makes me sad in those movies. It's not like...
Anything else in those movies makes you happy. It's just the nudity that makes you sad.
Well, no, I mean... But I don't like
He's
being...
He's talking about his penis.
Yeah. Wait, my penis makes me sad?
This is a bigger issue than we have time to deal with on the podcast. Anyway, in the end...
Wait. I want to go back to this. So, there's a pet detective?
Yes.
He's not... The detective isn't someone's pet. He's a detective who finds pets. It's a pet-related business.
So it's not a pet that's actually a detective.
No, it's a detective who finds pets.
Okay.
It's like Petco is not a company run by pets.
Well, I assume not.
And pets.com is
but
not
But it
a
is
website.
Where the pets go, right?
No, people go to get things for their pets.
I'm all confused. Let's go back to the roommate.
All right, the roommate. Well, they have a stray cat named Cuddles, and I'm not sure why the roommate decides to kill it, but she just puts it in the dryer in the campus
laundry room. It was very sad, Stuart.
Yeah?
I remember
I bet
you
it was
being
hilarious
very
for
sad.
Like a minute.
No.
No, I bet like just for a minute, and then it gets sad real quick.
I mean, the willingness...
It's like slapstick comedy. I mean, it's funny until somebody actually gets hurt, right?
You know, like the trustingness
of
this kitty. And then how sad
gets
it was.
Hurt in Jackie Chan movies.
I mean, the sad part... I mean, what I expected was this is like a single white female Fatal Attraction type movie. I expected her to cook the cat,
mm-hmm.
try to serve it to the roommate.
Yeah.
They really wasted the potential of the
cat. Like Titus Andronicus.
Yes, like Titus Andronicus, where they cook the man's... The way they cook the woman's sons and feed them to
her. Sure, it's the same thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Like 420 blackbirds baked in a pie.
Sure. So that was sad.
But that's the movie. Like, it's the simplest plot in the world, and they somehow still fuck it up. Pardon my French.
Here's something that I don't care for in this movie.
Thank you.
This movie seems to be anti the...
anti-roommate.
Sensitive, arty...
yeah, if you're
sort of intelligent girl with taste.
If you like to draw and you go to museums.
Yeah, and if you don't think that The Devil Wears Prada is the greatest movie like Minka Kelly does, you're the crazy one. If you're the one who doesn't like to go out to the club and dance, then you obviously have something wrong with you.
This is a movie where the good friend who gets scared away by the evil roommate gets drunk at a party and clashes a bunch of guys with cameras.
Yeah.
But the...
And you know that's just going
on. I mean,
I don't
Facebook. Think it's really any different than the, like, country versus city thing that you see in every other, like, comedy.
You're just, like, in the same anti-sophistication sort of...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It is hard to do a pro-smart people, pro-sophistication comedy. Even,
without
like,
coming
Revenge
off
of the
as
Nerds,
like
they're
offs.
Pretty stupid. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they're still all about boobs and getting laid.
But, like, if you made a snobs versus slobs movie...
And coercing women into sleeping with them by putting on the costume of their boyfriend.
Much like in The Roommate.
Sure. And cheating at all the...
But she's the bad guy in this movie.
I thought the nerds were the bad guys. That's why they get revenge.
And the whole time...
Talk about this, Elliot.
And the whole time in Revenge of the Nerds, when they're, you know, they're going through that contest with the other frat, they're... they, like, cheat at every single contest that they win.
Well,
like,
they use their smarts to cheat.
But yeah, they're still cheap. They're still breaking the rules. I think
they're
working smarter, not harder.
That's because people misunderstood.
Wait, what?
They're working smarter, not harder.
They're shifting the paradigm.
Okay.
That's because people misunderstand that the nerds are the bad guys in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
Who misunderstands that?
Everybody.
So everyone thinks the nerds are the bad guys.
No. Everyone thinks the nerds are the good guys when actually they're the bad guys.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming the jocks don't think they're the good guys.
The jocks are
They exist within the
in the film.
The context.
I imagine William Zabka doesn't feel that way.
Well, there is. It is hard to make. Like, you're never going to see a movie where the snobs beat the slobs, where the slobs are the bad guys. Even though, being a snob myself, I find slobs not the heroes of the
time. Yeah, you find them distasteful.
Well, it's a reason I'm not a fan of the Seth Rogen guys hanging out movies.
I also don't understand. I mean,
you, you kick them with your spat as you walk by.
I hit them with my cane, yeah.
I think that's probably the only time John Goodman's ever gotten to be one of the snobs, is in Revenge of the Nerds. Because he's the evil football coach.
Sure,
he's probably often that typecast
as
a slob.
But he's not the snob. He's the slob.
Him a snob necessarily.
The snobs are the nerds.
I didn't think they're, but they're. But wait,
that's kind of a slobs versus slobs comedy. The more I think about it,
well, jocks are always slobs.
Uh huh. And there's a bunch of slobby nerds who
and the nerds
who install cameras in the sorority to.
Well, that's the thing is the nerds in that movie are not that bear no relationship to real nerds, as far as I know.
Yeah.
They should
have they had pocket protectors and glasses and stuff.
They should have called it Revenge of the Unattractive Jerks who get a revenge on the slightly more attractive jerks.
Okay.
Or just call it Jerk University.
Call it Jerk U.
Jerk School. Yeah, Jerk U. Exactly. And all the students are asking.
It's got a delicious pun in it. Jerk U, Stuart.
That sounds like
it sounds like the French renaming of like the French release of Revenge of the
Nerds. Jerk U.
Call it Jerk U.
They're all jerks.
Every one of them is a jerk.
Like how Teen Wolf was released in other countries as The Boy from the Future. Because Back to the Future had come out there already.
Did you see that Matt Carman, our upcoming Flophouse Live co-host, he posted on Facebook there was a French translation of Children of the Corn, and the poster just said, Horror Child.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good summary.
Yeah.
It's a better name for it than Children of the Corn.
Yeah, what's the deal there, Dan?
I don't know.
Looking at
Sorry,
you,
guys.
You I are. I, really our, you I mean, I thought you were the Stephen King movie expert here.
Yeah,
because I haven't been watching him because I thought you knew them all.
Maximum Overdrive.
Okay, now you got it.
Okay,
now he's starting with
Sleepwalkers.
Wait, are we just having Dan name all the Stephen King movies?
The Mangler.
I'm not gonna hurt his creativity. I'm not gonna stifle Dan.
This isn't creativity.
He's a professional television writer.
Just listing things.
Did you just say Silverback?
Silver Bullet.
Okay,
it's Stephen King's Silver Bullet, isn't
Sorry.
It?
Sorry. Yeah, it is. The Tommyknockers.
Anyway,
I think you made that last one up, but let's continue.
Maybe let's move on back to The Roommate. This is a dull movie, and everyone wears hats.
Sure.
It's like the friggin' Adjustment Bureau over here.
Everyone's wearing hats nowadays.
But yeah, I guess there's not much to say about The Roommate. It's not a very good movie. I was hoping this would be like a sorority row where it turned out to be pretty enjoyable. But instead it wasn't.
It would have to be an R-rated film for it to be a sorority row.
Now, here's the problem, and this is something that has come up in a bunch of things I've read recently. It seems like Hollywood is just not comfortable making R-rated movies anymore, which baffles me because I feel like in the 80s and 90s, the whole thing was that people wouldn't go see a PG-13 movie or a PG movie.
Right.
But nowadays it seems like it's the opposite.
Well, they started – I think the part of the problem is they started actually enforcing some of this stuff. Like people like – We're like, hang on, kids are getting into these movies, and now
it's like the only thing that seems to be R-rated now is comedies.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
and kids see those anyway.
They're still R-rated comedies. I don't know why we can't have the old style R-rated horror films. I mean,
like, what was the last? I guess the Saw movies are rated R, right?
Yeah, but like that's I don't want R-rated horror movies that are just unpleasant things happening to like people's bodies. Like, I want a
story that will help you feel better about being turned on by seeing unpleasant
things. Sure, I want a little gore, but I also want a little sleaze. I'm a simple man, guys.
Yeah, look, so Hostel is what you want.
Hostel, that's of those movies, like, that's certainly the best of that sort of wave of films.
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree with you before Elliot will.
Yeah, take that, Elliot.
I don't feel like I've seen enough of those movies.
All right, well,
wow,
thanks for that.
Stuart. Well,
so guys,
instantly undercut his use as an agreement on that.
Well,
see, look, at least Stuart agrees with me. Brap. Really, that's who you're going to peg your credibility on, Dan? Is Burpee over here? Melcho?
The Burpee Seed
Burpee-o?
Catalog?
Oh, right, man, good stuff. We have not been funny tonight. It's my fault.
Okay. Do we have more to say about this? Because if we don't, I can move on.
We could go into it in more detail, but it's not really worth it. This is a programmer of a movie.
Yeah, it's single white female.
It's single white female but PG-13 and the kind of picture of college life that's very inaccurate in every detail.
The acting was less boring. The script is boring. Less weird lesbian subtext. There's a great part where the evil roommate's
taking the good roommate to an art museum, and she walks in. And she goes, "This is the modern section."
it's just like big circles on the wall. It's like, oh, okay, sure.
I mean, this isn't John Singer Sargent's work.
Pretty sure.
Which of these is the Botticelli mural? Mm-hmm. Is it this film that's showing in the background? And Cam Gajandet acted mostly with his furrowed brow.
Oh, God, I hated that guy.
Yeah, he does a James Franco impression the whole time.
Yeah, he's a really bad James Franco.
Eyebrows and smug looks.
You want to iron his forehead out.
You want to punch him in the face.
Because it's so wrinkly.
He's got a punchable face.
He does have a very punchable face, yeah.
All right, so final judgments, I guess. Is this a good, bad movie, a bad, bad movie, or a movie you kind of liked in some way? Elliot.
I would say this is a bad, bad movie. As I said, while we were watching the film, it is the type of movie that makes Swim Fan look like Psycho. Put that on a poster.
The poster is the thing I like most about it because it said something like, "Every year, a bunch of students get roommates. Yours could be crazy." So it's like, "Don't go to college, kids."
Yes. It was a community college advertisement.
Every year, a bunch of kids.
Well, I paraphrased, Elliot. Sue me, you know. Sue me. Take me to kids' court.
Why would you go to kids' court? We're both adults.
If we all take you
to kids' court, the judge will say, "This is outside of my jurisdiction. You need to go to adult court."
Stewart's tired of all these activist judges. He believes that the only true justice comes
honestly,
to kids' court.
Child.
Yeah. This is a bad, bad movie. Honestly, like, watching with you guys, I don't know whether we haven't been together for a while. I had a really good time watching it.
I had fun watching it with you guys. I wouldn't enjoy watching it by myself.
Yeah, it sped by, like, compared to a lot of movies.
It is only 90
movies.
Minutes
long. It's a bad, bad movie, but as those movies go, it was much more painless than most of them.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, this is kind of a turd. There was a scene where a cat gets put in a dryer that was distressing, and there was a fight scene in a shower, which was not exciting at all.
There was a shower scene with no nudity, so that really distressed Stuart.
The camera does its best to pan as close as it can get to a nude body part and then back up again.
As legally close to a butt crack as one can get, and then it just freezes.
Without the cops saying, "Hey, get away from her.
Get away from that butt crack." You've reached the terminus est or whatever.
the fight at the end was okay.
Yeah.
Not great.
It was uncomfortable, which was nice. And girls had blood all over their faces.
I mean, yeah, I was glad that wrinkly face got hit by a candlestick.
Yeah, no. I like that
was sort of satisfying. He didn't die. Like, that would have been better.
But it was a movie where I was more intrigued by the main character's coworker at the coffee house she works at, who looked kind of like one of the cavemen from the Geico ads.
Oh, speaking of this movie, by the way, like,
T-Rock, that was his name. Unfrozen caveman lawyer. Jesus Christ.
For 99.9% of this movie, it was a ripoff of Single White Female. And then at the very end, it turns into a rip off of the end of Poltergeist. Because, Poltergeist ends with them wheeling the television out of the hotel room. Like, not again. And in this movie, they wheel the other bed out of the room. It's like, "No more roommates for me." And I'm like, fuck you, movie.
Which is really not
movie.
Her decision to make.
That's how it works. Like, in housing.
Yeah, the housing office is going to have some
words. So now you get a single.
Sure.
White female.
Single white female movie, yeah.
So,
Single White Female was an amazing financial success in its day. Yeah,
did well. It was more. I feel like Single White Female. It was part of this run of movies in the 90s that were somehow controversial because they involved like murder and sex, like Basic Instinct. Like, I'm not sure why that movie was controversial. Really, Except, I mean, I guess there's an implication that lesbians are violent. Mm-hmm. But, like, single white female, maybe there was some. But, like, I remember single
they
white.
They killed America's sweetheart, Steven Weber, in it.
That might have been it. So. But I remember when single white female coming out, just, like, this discomfort it caused in people. And yeah. I don't know quite why.
And it added something to the national discourse.
Sure. Yes. You shouldn't trust single white females.
Similar to Indecent Proposal.
It added single white female as a reference point for movies like this.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, like Indecent Proposal was like this big conversation point when it came out, and like I don't understand
like,
why.
I'd totally have sex with Robert Redford for like $100.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the movie.
And you had a problem with Cam Gajandit's wrinkly face?
Yeah.
You'd have sex with Leatherface, Robert Redford?
Yeah, but his is from being really tan, not trying to look cute.
That's true, yeah.
Unless I'm totally underestimating Robert Redford's trying to look cute, and he actually successful. He's through the rabbit hole.
Apparently, to be really cute, you have to wrinkle your face up as much as possible.
Yeah.
That's why the old man in Up was such a sex symbol.
Yep.
So I do have some letters here in my hand.
From prison inmates?
Yes. One can only assume.
Dear Flophouse, cease and desist from the Flopcast House.
The first one is from Kelly, last name withheld, and it's simply titled, Thank You.
I think, assume the last name is Kapowski.
It says,
I'll assume that.
In the past 2 weeks, I've made my way through the entire backlog of your fine program. As a graduate student, I spent a lot of time in the lab, and having an iPod full of Flophouse.
I couldn't afford an iPod, so a guy named Paul just whispers in my ear. Snatches of songs, maybe stories he knows, jokes he's heard.
This guy named Paul gets transcripts of the Flophouse, and he reads them to me. An iPod full of Flophouse makes staying alone until well into the night much easier to bear. Kelly asked us, guys.
Uh-oh, time for us to do some work.
Are you ever going to run more vaguely defined contests designed to let you watch older movies as a, quote, prize?
Sure, why not?
Well, maybe. We throw out contests every week.
Yeah.
And forget about 37% to 98%.
Ellie, you wanted to run a contest to encourage Roger Ebert to put us on his television program.
Yeah, well, actually, I would if we could get the listeners of the Flophouse to write the – what's it called now? Roger Ebert Presents at the Movies or something like that.
That's it.
If they could write to them and suggest that in droves and suggest we be on that show instead of the people who are currently on it who are not very good.
Because all of us work at a TV show now.
Yep. Sure. I'm a writer. Dan's a writer. You're an animal wrangler.
Yeah.
We get television. So that would be a big contest, though, the Get Us on Roger Ebert's Show contest.
You know, and
as a prize, you can pick an old movie for us to watch.
if you can prove that you've done something to further the same, then we will put you
in the
Flophouse randomizer.
Well, you could tweet about it, write to Roger Ebert's Twitter feed. That's how he communicates with human beings about it. You know, post it on your blog page.
Any of those things.
Maybe.
Send us some proof.
Maybe purchase the television rights to Roger Ebert's show and
hire us.
If
you're an eccentric millionaire.
Yeah.
We don't get
enough
eccentric.
Or a sensible millionaire.
Well, yeah, that's fair. But we don't. I'd like an eccentric one.
Then we got to spend a night in a haunted house and we can get scared by a ghost.
But he'd probably have a Zeppelin, which I would like.
That'd be pretty great.
And I'd probably be the first one killed by the ghost, so at least I get to see a ghost before I die.
No way. Of course Dan would be the first one killed.
What?
You got to keep me around for
a while. I'm the, quote, final girl.
No,
of this.
You're not the final girl.
What? Who? Wait,
you're
who's the final girl?
You're the girl who thinks she's the final girl.
Yeah, so you die. You're the guy who tries to ruin everybody else's fun, so you get
killed. You know
killed.
What? No.
Then I'm the nerd who has to learn his courage and unfortunately has to sacrifice his life to find that. And Stuart, I guess, is the horn dog who gets killed while masturbating while watching other people having sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, wait.
It's 100% correct.
No, I think I'm the – you know what? I would be the boring boyfriend of the final girl who gets killed early on.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Sure.
But
– Or so for some reason
survives,
everybody believes –
Then the final girl
is
be...
Penny, and she fights a dinosaur.
And it turns out it was
wait,
a dinosaur.
Wait, it's a ghost dinosaur?
Yeah. Because think about how many fucking ghost dinosaurs were just wandering
There's
the
probably
earth.
Probably a shitload,
and
right?
And I apologize for my language. Yes. Oh, there were millions of dinosaurs. They're all dead. What are their ghosts doing? Just walking around.
Yeah. Wait, would it be like the dinosaurs that got killed in the movie Jurassic Park or like older than that?
Old, real dinosaurs.
Not fake dinosaurs?
Probably not the ghosts of animatronic dinosaurs.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Kelly, I hope that answers your question.
So that's the contest.
Make a ghost dinosaur.
No.
Send to us.
Mink a ghost dinosaur?
Okay, here's Mink a ghost dinosaur, star of Roommate. Here's there are two contests. How about this?
Two contests.
There's the ongoing publicize the Flophouse.
Yeah.
Spread the word and help us get more listeners.
Sure.
And the other one is the Get Us on Roger Ebert Show contest.
Both of them require you to send us some sort of proof, and then we'll put you in the randomizer. And I don't know when can we do a drawing? Maybe in like
2 months.
Yeah, a couple months.
Let's give people the summer.
Yeah.
Okay, so 2 months.
So someone's gonna have to write in and remind us.
We should say like
this.
4 episodes or something like. That's
sure.
more defined.
Okay. You're right. A set amount of time is way less defined than our random schedule of when we can get together and do this thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or we can do.
Be
four
a dick
episodes.
About it. No, it's fine. Be a dick. It's cool.
So the next one here, the title of this email is "Near Death Experiment."
Oh, excrement.
Like,
near death excrement.
I can't talk.
So like flatliners?
Near death experience, and it's from Craig, last name withheld. And he says,
I'm going to guess his last name is Daniel, like Daniel okay. Craig, but Craig Daniel.
Backwards, yeah.
I have been listening to the podcast for some time at work now, and I've become pretty good at covering my laughter by going into a fake coughing fit. I don't know why I need to cover it up, but sure.
Well, no one's supposed to laugh at Sadcore, where he works.
However.
Where laughing can get you fired.
Today,
of course, like a variant of Mumblecore, right?
Exactly. Yes. They're low-budget movies where you can't really hear it, and that's why it's sad.
It's all about children dying.
Man, way to bring it down.
Yeah,
that's Sadcore. I brought it down?
Yes.
Sadcore brought it down.
Yeah, not cool, dude.
Anyway, he said,
that's cool. Just why you get killed pretty early on.
However, today did not go smoothly. Flashback 9 months. After listening to the original Bratz podcast.
Baby.
Well, after original release, I went out and purchased the Bratz DVD previously viewed from Blockbuster for $2.99.
Uh-oh.
I got a pretty strange look from the clerk, being a male shopping alone in my late 20s, that was clearly excited about finding the film in the bargain bin. That night, I convinced a few friends to come over to watch the movie, and we were enjoying ourselves immensely. Then disaster struck. The DVD had been occasionally skipping for a few minutes, but it got to a point where it would play no more. We wasted no time, and soon there were three slightly drunk people in their late 20s negotiating a replacement for our scratched disc. We were told that they should have one copy left, but we would have to find it in one of the many bins. We dispersed and began rummaging through massive piles of DVDs until my friend let out a loud cheer, holding the Bratz DVD high above his head in triumph.
The most excited anyone's ever been to find the movie Bratz.
The three of us have since watched this movie multiple times, and I've insisted that coworkers and superiors borrow the movie and give it a watch. Flash forward to a few hours ago. There I sat listening and staring blankly at a spreadsheet while eating lunch. It was all going well until Stuart mentioned the idea of a spell-casting brat. My body attempted to laugh uproariously while also swallowing a large bite, and the immediate effect was I began choking.
Swallowing a large what?
A large bite, sorry.
A brat? He was eating a brat.
He was eating a brat.
Eating a Bratz doll. Everything is Bratz with him now.
Listening to Bratz. The secondary effect was that the food that was not blocking my windpipe fell out of my mouth, across my desk, and keyboard. The sounds of my struggle resulted in a small crowd forming outside my office that seemed quite concerned for my safety. It lasted close to 20 seconds before my wheezing and coughing dislodged the contents of my windpipe. Present day, thank you for making my day. So that was a story of a near-death experience.
I'm glad he survived.
Yeah,
I would hate to know that
Craig,
we killed one of our listeners over the movie Brad.
Craig Bratz guy Daniel.
I love that it was the idea of a spell casting Brad.
Well, there's nothing funny about that. I'm deadly serious about my spell casting Brad.
It's such a Stuart idea to come up with.
Yeah.
Using some
kind of illusionary magics.
Does it have some kind of soul-eating Ebon sword?
And
like Dream Blade?
Maybe.
Or like Raven's Blood?
It involves a lot of Bratitude levels, you know.
Okay, now you got to roll to figure out your Bratitude level.
Mm-hmm.
Terminal.
Terminal. Terminal Bratitude levels, huh, Dan?
We've never seen them this high before. They're off the Brat charts, or Brats.
So this is from,
like, Paul Brault, Mar.
So that's two letters down, yeah.
Paul Brats, Mal,
Africa. What?
Mal Brats.
Mal Brats.
This is from Lucas, last name withheld.
Mal Brad.
Paul Blart's Mal Brad.
Paul Brat's Mal Brad. Words that sound like otherwords.com, a.k.a. the Flophouse.
This is from Lucas, last name withheld. It says, I have a question for all of the floppers. Elliot, has mentioned the crew has seen a lot of softcore movies. And being a young man...
I don't remember ever mentioning that.
Being a young man growing up with a Mr. Movies down the street and USA Network's Up All Night every weekend, I too have seen a shitload of softcore. My question for you all...
Yeah, I think you mean mumblecore.
Sadcore.
What is your favorite softcore movie? I'm looking more from rewatchability and enjoyment levels rather than which turned you on the most, because I don't know if I want to hear Stuart talk about how much Nikki Fritz's fake tits got him hard during Fast Lane to Malibu. My pick is
Buford's... only in like two scenes in that.
My pick is Buford's Beach Bunnies, starring Tom Hanks' little-known brother Jim Hanks in the epic role of Jeter, the loser son of Buford, who freaks out every time he tries to have sex. And he includes a YouTube link here. I am insulted that you think I do not know what Buford's Beach Bunnies is.
Come on.
I have a VHS copy of Buford's Beach Bunnies that was given to me by a friend.
Too much information.
By Buford himself.
And it's inscribed, "Thanks for the help with the Beach Bunnies."
Thanks for the memories, Buford.
Keep on a wanking, Buford.
I think that there's a
Are we answering this question?
Well, there's a distinction here that has to be made, first of all.
Wait, are we talking about getting turned on again?
No, we're not talking about that.
They're specifically requested not to talk about it.
I mean, it's cool. Like, I'm pretty comfortable with myself,
no,
I guess.
Not. So I think there's a distinction that needs to be made between actual softcore films and TNA comedies, which I think is what he's talking about.
All right,
here.
Professor.
No, I don't think...
yeah, because, so I mean, that's trying to differentiate, like... my favorite, The Great Bikini Off-Road Adventure.
I thought you were going to say that.
With, say, Zalman King's Lake Consequence, starring Billy Zane.
Really?
Well, or anything even a little more explicit that you might find on your Cinemaxes or your Showtimes.
The things, you mean the movies with names that are like Sinful Intrigue, and it's like scenes from other movies. Like it'll be
or Breasty Breasterson, Breast Cop.
Or any of the ones where it's just a famous movie with the word breast put in the title.
Yes.
But they have those movies that are compilation films where it'll be like a bunch of people sitting around and they'll be like, "Here's a sexy story I heard." And then it'll just cut to a scene from an old Cinemax show. And then they'll come back and be like, "Wow, that was a hot story." It's like, this was just a scene of people having sex. How did they tell that story? Yeah. There's no context.
Yeah, I never know how to take that, because like I actually really start thinking about the framing device there. I'm like, so were they there watching this happen?
No, they just heard about it. What's interesting about it is they are...
It's an oral history, Dan.
Those are
and vaginal.
Well, you know... You couldn't see that, listeners, but Stuart winked at me after he said that. That's what did it. But here's the thing about those. There's something fascinating about those movies, because they're literally stealing scenes from past movies and then giving them a new fake context. And like it'll be like, "My brother told me about this thing that happened with a girl he worked with." And then they'll show a scene from like, you know, Nightcap. We're about sexy women who own a bar. And it's like, this isn't... That's not what happens there.
Yeah.
And it's there.
Ellie's too familiar with the original context.
That's the problem.
The repurposing does nothing for
it. But it's almost like the when you see like movie mashups online where they take scenes from one movie and make it look like something else is going on, like they can only hope to achieve the complete recontextualization that these softcore compilations have.
Yeah. But as, you know, like, all right, but for like, just like goofy TNA comedies, you're saying you like The Big Great Bikini Off-Road Adventure.
Yeah, with Willie Tallsalt.
Is that the
Wandering
Shaman?
Yeah.
Who always finds that one girl's top?
Yeah.
I've got a certain fondness for HOTS or HOTS.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I would probably say, what, like a...
HOTS is like a, if Revenge of the Nerds was just hot chicks, right?
Yeah, basically.
I'd say probably The Bikini Car Wash Company.
Sure.
More because of its legacy, which is that other bikini movies have car wash scenes in them.
Yep.
There's a movie that used to show on USA Up All Night all the time called Knockouts, about a bunch of sorority sisters who, of course, all are way older than college students.
Okay.
And somehow money gets stolen. I don't remember. But they have to get their money back. So they decide they're going to make a calendar of them in bikinis. And then... they don't have the money to pay to print up the calendar, so they enter a wrestling match. That's lady wrestlers, and they win the wrestling match. And I always wondered when it was over, like, because I've seen it. I used to see it a couple times. And I was, like, so are they going to spend the money on the calendars, or are they just going to put it right back into their tuition? Like, I don't know if they have to skip. Like, they can they skip the calendar step now? Because that seems unnecessary. How much money did they get? I don't remember. So
it's rich with incident, though.
It is rich. Oh, yeah. It's like an old silent comedy where it's like, I thought this was about guys who were at a party. Like, why are they at the top of the Empire State Building now trying to fly a glider plane?
Wait. I've got one last letter before
also,
we...
I will also say that the thing about the Bikini Car Wash Company is that at the end, they completely remove all subtext. And the characters, you just hear a voice off screen go, hey, let's take some pictures. And then it's just them posing in bikinis for like 100 minutes. I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like at the end of Screwballs when you finally get to see that chick's boobs, right?
Sure.
I don't remember Screwballs.
I mean,
that's what you meant by removing subtext, right?
Yeah, that's removing subtext. I mean, they just show people's tops, yeah.
So this last email is from Tom, last name withheld. And it says, you guys have been doing the podcast for several years now, especially with the added notoriety of your last mystery guest, Wyatt Cenac. I think someone gets a Zagnut bar. It's time for you to expand your operation. That was
Zagnut?
That was what he was supposed to get.
A sad nut bar. Okay. Like sad.
That was the award for identifying the mystery guest.
I forgot that part. Mystery guest that we identified on the website.
And immediately within the podcast. Tom says, I recommend enlisting a Flophouse intern to help out with some of the backstage duties. As a fairly recent college graduate, I know how hard it is to find work in this job market. I'm sure there are many others like me who are more than willing to work for little to no money to get the experience. Living on the West Coast inhibits me from volunteering to be your podcast lackey, but I'm positive you could find someone in the Brooklyn area willing to invest their time and effort. Flophouse internship responsibilities include... feed the Flophouse house cat. Pick up fried chicken at Popeye's for Elliot.
That would be very convenient.
Make beer runs for Stuart. Provide moral support for Dan when Stuart and Elliot turn against him.
Impossible.
Against him? What are you talking about? Dan, what are you doing? You wrote this fucking letter, didn't you? You added that. He added that.
He did,
I see it written in
pencil
on there.
No one likes Dan enough to want him to have moral support.
Keep track of all the vague Flophouse contests. Well, that's a callback.
That would be very helpful.
Be the scapegoat for
any
technical
problem. It's a callback
problem.
To the thing we fuck up all the time.
So with that said, I hope you consider letting me...
I've been dropping a lot of F-bombs. I apologize.
It's okay. Yeah,
you're apologizing
drunk.
For swearing still... as much as we normally apologize.
Yeah.
Wait, as much
what?
As we normally swear.
We need an intern so Dan can understand what he's saying at any given moment.
Sorry. Flophouse intern. What do you think? Guys?
I mean, we can... It's... I don't know what the Flophouse intern would do. You're the only person who puts any work into this. So.
I could sit to the side and laugh.
I mean, that would be helpful. Is that pro or con? House cat, I don't understand.
Yeah, no, he already left.
He just stopped.
He was
in.
Summoned like Candyman.
The intern could.
Candyman.
like Saul Candyman.
You're saying the intern could cue the house cat whenever the house cat was needed?
Remind me that the Flophouse house cat exists.
Your most popular characters, too.
I don't remember much of what I'm supposed to do here.
I think we do need an intern, probably. No. But where would they just, like, live in your apartment?
That's a good question. I mean,
like, what would their
hours
be?
Butler? Would he be like a toy and Richard Pryor's
those
the
are
toy?
Two different things.
He wasn't a butler?
He was not a butler. He was a toy. Hence the title of the film.
He wasn't a toy butler?
No, he was a toy person.
He was a slave.
He was like
the
Toy
subtext
Story.
That film was.
It was like Toy's Tory.
Wait, what?
Toy Story.
Wait, what?
Toy Story.
Oh, okay.
Toy Story.
I don't know. I mean, until I got this new job, I worked in a closet at in my current position. So this intern could live in my coat closet. That could be.
I mean, that seems like, if anything, you should have learned a lesson about how much people don't like being
nope.
in closets.
I've only had the desire to pass the misery along to others.
You're warped and evil now, more machine than man.
Now that Dan is out of the closet.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
So to speak.
Sure. Good.
So do we? Huh. So Dan, you would be the one dealing with this person. So do you want an intern?
No. So
right. Didn't
no.
Even have to think about it.
Yeah.
The end.
Okay.
Well, but we appreciate the idea.
Yep.
We would pay a stipend of nothing.
Sure.
So send your resumes to danmccoy@danmccoy.com.
123 Dan McCoy Street.
Care of the Flophouse, Flophouse Lane, Flophouse, New Jersey, 0704 Flophouse.
All right. So last
be sure to
segment.
Mark your envelopes. Attention,
what's
internship
the last bit?
Coordinator.
We have another. We have another letter.
Well, you know, we should quickly
recommend things.
We should quickly recommend a movie that we actually liked, as opposed to The Roommate, which we did not care for.
Okay.
Stuart,
you didn't like it.
Do you have a recommendation
last,
you would like to? No. Okay, Elliot. I know you have one queued up.
I do. I would like to recommend the film I Love You, Philip Morris, which I just saw a couple days ago after hearing a lot of good things about it from a lot of people. And you may have heard of it. You probably haven't seen it. It got a very small American release after being delayed for a long time. It was actually the rare American movie that's released overseas before it was released in America, which is too bad. It's a kind of comedy drama about it, based on a true story about a con man slash serial prison escapist played by Jim Carrey in probably his best performance ever, who falls in love with a fellow prison inmate played by Ewan McGregor, who also does a pretty good job. And it seems like the only thing that kept it from being released is that it is very open about the main characters being gay and having a sexual relationship and just not – it's one of those movies where a character is gay, but that's not really a plot point. And it seems like people are uncomfortable with that at the moment. But it was a good movie, and I'd recommend it.
I have not had a lot of time to watch movies recently.
Get new jobs and stuff.
Sure. Just living large, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and in charge occasionally.
Like Charles.
But so I'm going to do my normal thing when I haven't had time to see a movie, which is to stare at my DVD shelf.
Well,
and,
if you want to, you can probably think of one while Stuart recommends Castle Freak or The Invisible Maniac.
Nope.
Sure. Head of the family.
It was like, come on, guys. Don't underestimate me. Like a week or so ago was Friday the 13th. So I rewatched Friday the 13th Part 7, my favorite of the Friday the 13th movies. That's the one where
it's
Jason
after he took Manhattan, right?
It's right before. That's the one where Jason has been sunk to the bottom of a lake.
Did he take Manhattan before or after the Muppets? Like, who currently has control of Manhattan?
The Muppets.
Split control. It's a timeshare thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
It is way better when the Muppets are in control.
Yeah.
Jason, it's kind of random. He walks around slowly and kills people when they get too close. But in this movie,
he opens a fashion agency.
He wears Prada.
He begins a life in the in Crystal Lake, and he is awoken from his eternal slumber by a telekinetic girl who is accidentally rises him from the dead when she tries to bring her dead drowned father back to life. And then he basically spends the rest of the movie battling this telekinetic girl. And then right before he kills her, her zombie dad drags him down to hell. It's pretty awesome. So,
well,
spoiler alert. But you should still watch it because it's hilarious.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to recommend
Friday the 13th Part 7.
Part 7.
What's the subtitle?
I don't remember.
Jason Takes Manhattan?
No, that's Part 8.
Right.
From my DVD shelf, I'm going
to
recommend
Mission to Moscow?
It is Mission to Moscow.
Talking Heads, Stop Making Sense.
That's barely even a movie.
What do you mean it's barely? It's the best concert film ever made.
It's a concert film.
In my opinion. Jonathan Demme, who did Silence of the Lambs, Something Wild, many other great films.
And many bad films.
Recently bad films. But before Silence of the Lambs and earlier, all good films.
Did he do the conspiracy theory or was that – no, it was Richard Donner, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Richard. He did the terrible charade remake, Truth About Charlie.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
but Stop Making Sense is very good.
Stop Making Sense is, as I said, I think the best concert film ever made.
Never Say Never, Justin Bieber film.
Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah,
all right. Well,
probably better because it's
newer.
New, yeah.
I've been corrected,
and they don't sing that fantasy song.
Sure. So I guess you're right. I rescind my recommendation.
No, Dan recommends Stop Making Sense.
I have no recommendations for this week.
Mm-hmm. Are you gonna crawl back into your hermit crab?
I'm gonna crawl back into my hermit hole.
Oh, we went too far. I'm sorry, yeah. Dan.
He was so excited at the beginning of the podcast.
I really need an intern
promotion
to take my side on this, provide moral support.
Yeah, we need an intern.
I'm out of beer too, I think.
Yeah.
And
all right. Well, let's
go for more chicken.
Let's get Stuart some more beer. Elliot some more chicken. Me some moral support. So I'm gonna sign off. My name has been Dan McCoy.
Oh, I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I am Ellie Kalin and will continue to be after this is over.
Good night, everyone.
living in a box. Slap on your adult slap diapers. Yep. Accidentally catch yourself on a defective slap bracelet.
Then jump up and down on your LA Lights shoes so the lights in the heel can go on and off.
Put your hypercolor up to a toaster.
Sure, yep. Wear your British Knight dimesels.
Go down to Pizza Hut for your Back to the Future 2 solar shades.
And to cash in all of your book it points.
Speaking of book it, I was talking to a girl about how when we were in elementary school, you would get like points
for
reading books that you could apply to getting a personal pan pizza.
Yeah,
and she was like, so I end up eating a lot of pizza because I love to read. I'm like, that's funny. I had to read because I loved eating pizza.